Rorikonda takes pride in community involvement, from looking forward to walk-in vehicle questions to customizing end-of-the-month deals. They always have the customer in mind.
So be sure to catch their community event, perfectly titled The Pick Up and Go Comedy Show, that places local comedians in the back of a Honda Ridgeline. And where? In a parking lot. So check Rorik Automotive social media for details on when you can socially distance and have a truckload of fun. But as always, visit Rorik.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Boom. And here we are doing the podcast from the Bentley. Yes, the Bentley dealer.
Rorik Automotive Bentley.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the... out of you.
Yeah, jagoff.
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
This is Ken Wild Bill.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Seaback.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Santonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
So this is the Jagoff Podcast, and as you heard, we are at the Bentley Pittsburgh dealer up here in the Cranberry Warrendale area, and we have a Bentley sitting right behind us. So today's podcast is kind of unique, but before we get into who's all on here, this is where we ask you typically, if you're watching the podcast right now, go to radio.com and subscribe to it. Or go to wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to it, because every week we do this.
And we talk about something Pittsburgh, right? So we also want to know if you have any suggestions on what we can talk about going on in Pittsburgh. Now, this time, we are talking about the Golden Quills. And we're so excited because we get to interview some really cool people.
In the meantime, we also, the city paper has a little contest
going
on.
Yeah, this is where we would talk about the blog.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yeah, we're self-promoting today.
We have to, because now it's down to the end, John, okay? You see my serious face. There's no joking.
Game face.
Game flippin' face. We are up for two categories, kind of like the Golden Quills, but we are up for two categories for the City Paper Best Of, and it's blog and podcast. So we're super excited. You're going to see some heavy-hitting ads this week because we are that serious.
Right.
Expect some videos. It's going to be jagoff overload.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, if you haven't voted, please go to the City Paper and vote for us. We really appreciate your vote because we love Pittsburgh and we love our viewers.
So we're up for this Golden Quill. If you're not familiar with the Golden Quill, it's a media recognition, professional recognition, and the Golden Quills are not just like people in Pittsburgh who voted. It's media professionals outside of this area who have sampled, either read or watched or listened to all of the entries. And they decide whether someone can be considered as a finalist for a Golden Quill, which, by the way, we were.
Two. And the cool part is our guests today reflect that. So the two finalists in the categories in which we were nominated and finalists for, we are reprising them and seeing where they are because it's been a year and a half since their episodes. So it's kind of cool because we get to catch up. Now, one of them is becoming a little nauseating, right? Frizzy, he's like the Arthur Motes of the Jagoff podcast. He's on all the time now. But he said, if Arthur, if you actually hear this, he said, you're retired, bro. So he's actually the new...
he called you out.
He's the new Arthur on our podcast.
So what we're going to do on today's podcast for the visual side of it is, and if you're listening to the podcast, we'll leave this moment in here because you can go to Facebook Live backwards to Saturday and watch this. But as we call the guests out, they're going to, well, they're going to get to experience a Bentley.
How about that?
Right.
Hashtag experience
so
Bentley.
So we didn't have enough money to have everybody driven around. So what they're going to do is come out from the showroom, slide through, and Colin is going to let them in and out.
Listen, if you can't beat them, join them. So we can't afford a Bentley, but we know that it's quite the car. So check it out.
So as we start the award ceremony music, let's bring in Jason Boca.
Jason Mocha, welcome back. Hey, it's always a pleasure.
He was so excited.
Awesome.
So you are kind of the jack of all trades at the Rorik Automotive Group.
Yeah.
We obviously talked to Jay when we're at Mazda. We talked to Larry when we're at Honda.
Yeah.
We're going to start chatting it up at Toyota. We're excited about that. But today we're here at Bentley. Talk a little bit about Bentley isn't as well known all around because it's a little bit of a specialty car.
It is.
Okay.
But people
know about it.
Well, Bentley is, it's a heritage brand. They just celebrated their 100th anniversary. They've been in the city for a long, long time. Rorik acquired the brand about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we were based on West Liberty Avenue until late 17, and we moved up to this building in early 18.
Okay.
So this building shares Maserati and Bentley.
So what kind of driver is a Bentley driver? Like, I remember when we first met you a few years back, and we were like in astonishment of just the detail, right? I mean, I have to say, every vehicle has its perks that you can say, well, that's why I drive a fill in the blank.
Sure.
But Bentley, I mean, the way you explain it, just the custom tree, right? The not the custom tree. Custom built stuff. Right?
Most of our clients tend to want to customize their vehicle.
Right.
So
they
will build it, and that's, you know, 6 months down the road, you'll see your car. Obviously with COVID, it's that's pushed a bit, but we do keep vehicles in stock. You can come into the showroom and, you know, we do order some and we do sell them.
Sure.
There is a level of, if you want to go above it, we can make that happen for you.
And that's rare, right? In the car industry?
It's rare.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, not many brands offer that kind of personal service. Bentley is one of the few. You know, it's a brand where it's well known, but it's, they're making an effort to be more inclusive, I guess you could say. People think I have a Bentley or somebody has a Bentley, you need a driver or a chauffeur or something like that. It's not really like that anymore.
Yeah.
They are more driver's cars. They are a sporty luxury car. Now all the models except one are all-wheel drive. So our clients use them as daily drivers, as summer cars, as weekend cars, however you want to do it. But they are safest cars on the road, and they can be in the snow.
Well, so that's
they're
exactly
good for Pittsburgh.
That's exactly what
there you go.
Except for someone who's making a Pittsburgh left in front of your Bentley, right?
Right. You don't want that. No.
So, and that's actually what I was going to ask you, as you kind of answered that, is it, when someone buys a Bentley, is it their only car, or is this that car that they're
that's
taking out to, you know, date night, or, you know, taking out to friends? If I had one, I'd take it out one night every 10 years, and that would be to my class reunion.
Yeah. The show off.
How about you thought about that? Like, he actually thought about where he would drive.
He really did. Yeah. He put a lot of thought into that.
Oh, I don't have dates, so.
I guess the answer to that question is both.
Yeah.
We have people who use it as, it's their fifth, sixth, seventh car. And then we have people who just have aspired to want one
right,
and
say,
I'm going to trade in my S class or my 7 series and I'm going to get a Flying Spur.
Sure.
It's an all-wheel drive. It's of similar size and you could use it as a daily. We have a customer that has a first generation or second generation Flying Spur that has over 150,000 miles on it, and it's regularly maintenance here.
Wow.
And nothing's wrong with the car. I mean, he just drives the wheels off it.
Wow.
No, we know, we talked
awesome.
About
it's great to see. Yeah.
We talked about how great the service is for Bentley, but and that's almost doubling down on the Rorick advantage at this point, right? Because the Rorick family does the Rorick advantage, but do you even need the Rorick advantage because of the high level of high touch care you get here at Bentley?
Yeah. So this store, we don't have the Rorick advantage just because of the specialty nature of the vehicles. But yes, I mean, it does help to have that association.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen,
usually I ask the best questions, but he didn't even go on script.
Yeah, he's just rolling
on fire.
With it. And I get it. I understand.
You know, and we'll drive him to his reunions in our Bentleys.
Yeah.
Right?
No, we want to make it a point to let people know that we have more to offer than just Maserati and Bentley.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to feel a level of insecurity or intimidation to come to this store.
That's a good point, yeah.
We have everything here from, you know, people trade in everything here. We buy cars from all over. We have everything from a dually truck to a Mazda 6 to an Escalade all the way up to your $500,000 Bentley.
Yeah.
So there's something literally for everybody here.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that everybody feels welcome to stop in here. It's not an appointment only kind of culture here. We're open. You could walk in and you'll get the same level of service whether you buy a Bentley or any other brand.
And speaking of being open, you're having an event here shortly, right?
We are. We're having a car show here that benefits the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix. or the charities of the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix, I should say, on September 19th. That information is on our website as well as the Grand Prix's website.
We'll put it in the show links as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that show is about, we're already at 100 registered cars. We're closing registration on the 5th. It's a catered, you know, we're going to have catered food, mostly vintage cars. Most of the people that came, you know, got an invite or just registered through the Grand Prix's website. Yeah. So it's, if you have a car and you want to bring it out, you're more than welcome to bring it out. It's $50. All the proceeds go to the charities of the Grand Prix.
And you can come look around at these fine cars.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to have them all outside. We're going to empty the showroom and have all vintage Bentleys and Rolls Royces inside. So feel free to stop by and wander the grounds.
I'm going to invite my classmates
up. Oh my gosh. He has to stop talking. Yeah. Make him stop talking. Yeah, all right, Jason, you're suckered in for the question of the day. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Since this
is
our GQ episode and we're talking about, you know, ceremonies and award ceremonies.
Yeah.
We appreciate that you are celebrating with us. But if you were granted an award acceptance speech for anything, one of your talents, whatever, you know, even if it's car related, who is the person you would thank first? You get up there, Jason Mocha, how do you feel? You thank?
Your parents.
Perfect. That was a good answer.
That was a good one.
Did you like my question today?
That was a good one. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think that's, you know, but until you're up there, you know, you might freeze a bit. You wouldn't know what to say. You need to have a prepared, a prepared speech.
Yeah.
You know, you can pull it out of your sport jacket.
Yes. And, the sport jackets are complete use because I have shorts.
You know, I want to thank John Chamberlain. You know what I mean? Like, you never know, but yes, I think your parents are the first people who come to mind.
Listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We appreciate all the support with all the Rorick Automotive groups.
We love working with you guys.
And we'll have everybody
follow. We appreciate
it
as well, and it's awesome. Thanks for doing it here, and I think this is a good venue to have.
We're coming back.
We're coming back.
We'll think of another reason.
We'll make something happen.
Kim is wearing a beautiful black T-length dress, shorter in the front with a longer back detailing. Colin is now running around to get Kim
very
delicately into the Bentley V.
Wow,
there's no profanity. She's coming right out very elegantly. Colin is giving her.
Oh, look at him. He's excellent at this.
Kim, you didn't even hear all of our wonderful things we said about you on your way out of the beautiful Bentley.
because Rachel was describing what you're wearing, because that's usually the first question is, who are you wearing today, Kim?
Yeah. Who am I wearing? Amazon?
Oh, there you go. There you go. I was going Old Navy. Kim, we have been trying to organize some kind of spot for you on the podcast literally for a year. You are that busy of a lady.
So kind of you to ask me.
Oh my
really
gosh, are you kidding?
It.
This is where, you know, I could go off script. Actually, I could go on script and talk about, you know, obviously what we're going to chat with you. But I had the pleasure of working with you 20 years ago at the Tribune Review. And I emailed her this today that I said, Kim has this poise to her that as a woman, you're like, wow, what does she do? Who is she? She's so intriguing because she has a confidence. And when she sent me some of the things that she's working on, it made me realize that's why. And we're pretty much the same age, but you were there a little bit longer than me. And I got to see her really pave the way for women in journalism. So Kim is here for kind of a dual role because she plays a part in the GQ, which is the Golden Quills, right? But she also has a very large role in post-industrial as well. So we want to get to know Kim. But first, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here. I admire your work, both of you. I've watched it grow. It's a tremendous concept and great and fun. So
thank you very much.
You're too cute.
We appreciate that. You know, it's kind of fun when we can take a heavier topic and still have a lighter side to it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Not that we're going to make fun of everything, but you know, it's just kind of fun that way. And the part for us is, I think, is that we got the phrase, everybody's used to the phrase you jag off now. You know, it was like,
it's a Pittsburgh thing, right? You can hear it without laugh.
Right. So, well, and listen, you know, it's sort of a good way to start the conversation with you because journalism was always such a serious, serious topic. Not that it's not now, but it has changed and grown, as you said, in that, you know, starting out as a journalist in the written form at the newspaper and then coming over to podcasts, I had no idea what a podcast was. And I think most old school journalists didn't know either. Or what was this thing that was up and coming? The word jagoff is is a funny tongue-in-cheek way for us to boast of Pittsburgh. So it's kind of a cool way to say we really are evolving and mm-hmm. we are something in this city that nobody thought we were. Mm-hmm. So I guess start with where you started. You wanted to go into journalism. Why? And where did that path take you?
Like a lot of people, I knew about Watergate. I mean, I was too small to live through that. I saw the difference and the impact that journalists could make with the work that they produced just by documenting something that otherwise people wouldn't know. It's really powerful when used well, and when used, you know, on a broad basis. And so I thought that is, and I love to write. And so I thought I have to do that. And I've always felt that it's just something that is so much a part of me that I have worked really, really hard to be able to stay in it and to be able to kind of help reinvent, because I do firmly believe in it and that, you know, there are models for it. So have always done this, graduated from college and was fortunate enough to keep getting jobs. People kept hiring me, thankfully, got promotions. So very fortunate. And then I went off and did other
things. And that was always the first thing you wanted to do was journalism? Did you have a good support system with that?
I did. I wanted to be a lawyer for a while, but yeah, it's pretty much mostly been this. So, I had a brief period where I wanted to be an opera singer, but that didn't last long.
Well, we're going to try that.
Oh, I love
today.
It. That's awesome. Yeah.
I can still sing Ave Maria.
Oh, my God.
I might be able to do it at some point.
So, Kim.
That's my karaoke.
Ave there Maria. You go. Oh, John loves karaoke.
Yo, I love bad karaoke. Yeah. I don't like to watch good karaoke. I like to watch the train wrecks.
So, the only fun karaoke is bad karaoke.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So now, Kim, you know, we've had radio people on here before where they've had to transition from not just, you know, showing up and talking on a microphone. Now they have to tweet, they have to Facebook, mm-hmm. they have to write mm-hmm. blogs and all mm-hmm. that. You're that example in the newsprint business, right? You've had to watch that evolve, and clearly you have, as you just said, you know. But how was that? What was the first, did you panic at one point, go, oh, Jesus, there's a million things to do right now? Or how did you make the transition?
I think that is a really great question, and especially relevant for these times, because I did come from print, and I did find that in the beginning, when print was beginning to transition to, you know, hey, we got to get these stories on the internet, there was resistance to that. But frankly, if that is what people want, and if there's a market for that, then you post those stories where people want them. You figure out how to, you know, we're communicators. So, and I love change. I embrace change and reinvention. I love it. And so I always have tried to think about what is going to be next. How can we position ourselves for that? How can we get people excited about the what's next? And, you know, so really I've always, And I'm not saying that I haven't maybe clung to one medium over the other, because I you know, I'm a words person, but I try to work really hard to respect the fact that, you know, people do say, if you ask some people where do you get their news, they'll say Facebook. So, you know, when we're posting things to Facebook, we think about that, and we try to compose, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, keeping in mind different audiences. Mm-hmm. Video, the same. I mean, yeah. So
it's so much more instant gratification than it was before. So I think the old routine was you woke up, you got your newspaper, whichever mm-hmm. it was, you read it, and that was your information until the next day.
Exactly.
And here we are now, you know, so many means. You could read a headline through Twitter and know in seconds, you know, something
that's
going on.
It's weird that the position that we're in, because I kind of get mad when people say the newspaper is going away. Like, the newspaper is going away,
yes.
right? But hopefully the reporters and all that, you know, we're going digital. I get
it. But the art of journalism is not.
But right, exactly. But then I think of my parents who are 80 plus, and they literally are stuck. Right. They're right stuck in the middle because they don't want a computer. They don't even have a smartphone. And 3 days a week or 2 days a week now is the only time they get a printed newspaper. So it's kind of, you know, there are those people that are kind of stuck in that gap. But the gap really, again, it's not like news sources are going away.
Absolutely not. And I think one of the big challenges, and it's a responsibility for us as journalists, is we have to now help guide people in choosing reliable information,
yes.
Right? It's almost that there is so much out there. And I think what we all see is we see people selecting information to kind of suit their worldview, which can be very dangerous, right? Because, you know, then you're not really coming at it with an eye towards just being informed overall.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, maybe not everyone knows exactly what a good primary source is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think there's more we carry more responsibility
too.
That's
a great point. Yeah.
So,
no, for
yeah.
sure. Talk a little bit about, the Golden Quills. Obviously you are a part of the Golden Quills for a reason, because it is this esteemed thing, and it has certainly grown over the years, because I want people to know, you know, the importance of it. You know, when we asked you to come on, we sort of tongue in cheek said, we are finalists, which we're very proud of, but we're revisiting the finalists who got us the finalist mm-hmm. position, with the guests we're speaking to. But can you explain in general to the human, the common person, mm-hmm. what is the Golden Quill, and how has it changed present day to present day?
Yeah, this is an awards, annual awards, for it is journalism produced in 28, 29 county area of Western Pennsylvania, and also parts of West Virginia and Ohio. So media outlets that produce work, we ask everyone to submit what they believe is their best work. And then we have journalists and editors from other media outlets judge it. So it really is judged by peers. The reason that we do this is, number one, it's just a great way to support the industry, right? It's a great way to recognize and pause and just say, this is the impact of the work that we have done. It's a good way to show others how others are innovating. And it's also a tremendous way. I mean, we give away scholarships. We have a student scholarship. We have two other scholarships. We recognize student work. We added a student category a few years ago, something we really want to do for a long time. And so it is, I feel, in addition just to recognizing the people who are making contributions now, it's a good way to kind of encourage others to stay in it, learn. We made a ton of changes to it. So we used to be all paper, and now we're all mm-hmm. online. Mm-hmm. This year we're virtual, like everybody else. So.
Right. And we should give a plug that, on
September
3rd at 7 o'clock.
It's at 7 o'clock, yes.
And we can watch it on the Pittsburgh cable channel, but they also have a website, PCTV.
Correct. Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have to look it up. Thank you so much. We will also have links on our Facebook page to it. So we will definitely make sure, and it is just, and we had, I know the other point I want to make on this is there are many, many major cities, their press clubs are gone. I mean, there's SPJ, there are other organizations, but the local homegrown press clubs, many of them, it's been hard to stay afloat.
Yeah, sure.
And so we are really grateful to the community here in Western Pennsylvania who has supported our little nonprofit. And tons of volunteers, Andy Conti from Point Park, Helen Fallon, Karen Carlin, just many, many volunteers who put in a lot of hours pulling this together.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
so,
how we do it.
I did not realize that it was so low at that point. Yeah.
Let's make this transition to, so you go from reporter and writer and enjoying mm-hmm. life, and now you're the CEO of Post Industrial, right?
Yeah.
So how do you make that jump? Were you prepared to make, to be like the boss? Or what do you think you learned along the way to be prepared for that?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I'm such a probably a strange hybrid of business and journalism. I was a managing editor at the Trib, so I had a team, and we looked at what we did, very pragmatically. I mean, we started a lot of titles and we stopped a lot of titles. And so it was a good opportunity for me to see what worked in certain areas and what, unfortunately, sometimes we had to close. I love my experience there. But how I transitioned is, I hadn't written for a long time. I had done mostly kind of building things, as I would like to say, building teams, which I love to do. And so when I left, when I accepted a buyout, I did it so I could do those things. And I had already started a small business on the side years ago because I said, I want to still be a journalist. I want to be a journalist and I don't want anything to happen. So I went off and I started another small enterprise, so I could have something, else to practice and build and, you know, support me while I was off doing the other little experiments. So.
Sure.
Fortunately, and then I encountered Post-Industrial. I met the founder, Carmen Gentile. He's amazing and, you know, had this real vision for this new brand. And I came there after it was pretty well established, worked with them behind the scenes last year. So I think that between working on a small business and, you know, being in the newsroom, building up teams has been a great preparation. Because I'm very much, I'm very competitive. I'm very much a numbers person. I love it. So.
Explain to someone who may not know, what is Post-Industrial so that they understand? Because it's sort of a dual component, right?
Yeah, it's
a multi-component.
It's a multimedia, it's a journalism-driven multimedia outlet. Defined around the concept of post-industrial, which we kind of call it psychogeographical. So let's take Pittsburgh, for example. Let's take Pennsylvania. This is a place that maybe has its identity based in, you know, manufacturing. Traditionally, you know, for many years, you know, the economy was one thing, and then it went to something else. And so our brand is built around defining, you know, what is new and what is next with these communities? How can we redefine ourselves? How can we do things better? How can we reimagine, you know, our industries, our communities? And so we cultivate news from 12 states. Many of our readers are from Western Pennsylvania, of course, because this is where we're based. But we have podcasts. We have a quarterly print magazine. We have a daily newsletter. And we have some other things in the offing. So even though, I mean, Carmen and I both come from a background of words, we try very hard to just make sure that we're offering media in all forms, podcast as well. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So it's a really exciting time, and I'm a bit of an outlier because at a time when, you know, I know there's sometimes some, I don't know, negativity is a strong word, but around the industry, I'm very excited. I'm glad to be in the trenches building, and I'm really grateful. Yeah.
That's a great way to say
that. Ken,
this
has been a blast, actually. You know, I love it. And the fact that I love people that re-engineer themselves, I mean, I did that myself. I mean, you know, laid off before you're 50 years old, and what do? You write a blog called You Jack Off.
I love it.
That's what I'm going to do before
I turn 50. So it's crazy. Wait, are you losing your job?
No, I'm just going to start doing that.
Yeah, right. So in summary, we appreciate you coming. And the bad news is, well, we have a question of the day coming up. But the bad news is you were delivered here in a very nice car. We don't have the budget to take you away. So you're going to have to walk off when you leave. Isn't it suck?
We're not going to say your partying gift is the car.
Right.
So.
Right.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Yes. But listen, where can everybody find you so that they can follow you on social media, find out more about the importance of journalism from, you know, the club standpoint, but also Post-Industrial?
Yeah. Press Club of Western PA. We have a Facebook page, very easy to use. Our website is westernpapressclub.org. Also postindustrial.com is our website, and we're easy to find on Facebook. So.
Yeah, for sure. And that'll get you to any of the podcast, any of the publications.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That will get you to how to subscribe to the newsletter, the magazine, the podcast, everything.
Awesome.
Please subscribe.
All right. Here's the question of the day. Here's the tough one, Kim. Everything else was easy. The tough one is, this is our, you know, we're excited that we're finalists in this amazing, you know, I keep telling people when I worked at the Trib, we were encouraged to submit. Never won anything. Not at the Swickley Herald, not at the Trib.
I'm sorry.
Right? I mean, nothing. I was that boring. I get on this podcast and we're finalists. We're super excited. So that being said, we're celebrating ceremonies, specifically mm-hmm. this one. So if you were to win an award, no matter what it is, who's the person who you're giving thanks to? You get up for your acceptance speech and you say, I couldn't be here if it weren't for...
So hard.
It's a tough one.
I would say a lot of the mentors that I have had, through
That's
the years.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Bob Fryer is one of them.
There you go.
We started a golf outing in his honor.
Yes.
He was a newsman around Pittsburgh, and he was a big influence on my career, teaching
guy.
Me.
Sure.
And so that would definitely be one person. So.
Okay, fair enough. That's the perfect answer.
And by the way, she brought us swag bags so we can show up here on Facebook, right? Yeah.
This is a t-shirt we had designed, Commonwealth Press. It is a map of post-industrial America.
Okay.
So they will be available on our website soon. We also have a bag designed by Commonwealth Press. We're all in this together. Also designed by Commonwealth Press, a great screen printer and magazine.
Oh,
so.
Might be
it might
though.
Be, Maybe. And it might not, but it is.
Da, da, da. Well, Kim,
awesome.
Thank you so much for making
you.
Time to come up here on the podcast and sliding through our free Bentley.
And we definitely want to have you on more regularly, even if it's quarterly, just to talk. Let's pick a topic and we'll go with it, right?
Yeah,
we
love
talk.
It.
Yeah, cool.
I'm shy, but you make it to me.
Thanks. We appreciate
thanks.
It. All right, next up.
Thank you. Grazie.
So before we get started, tell us about your brief Bentley experience.
So that was fun.
I kind of wanted to dive through
at one point.
It's a great new car smell.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just going to drive away with it. No one will notice, right?
Listen, everyone thinks it's their partying gift. Like, you're all waiting to see who wins it. It's not happening, ladies, unfortunately.
It was also very clean. If you were to open the back seat of my car, there would be snacks and leftover juice boxes.
Something sticky.
Absolutely.
That way, wouldn't it be the best to just open up a Bentley car door and find a French fry?
Oh, my gosh. That would be so funny.
It'd be like, that's John's car.
That would be if the Renabex took it for a test drive. Just saying.
We always said it's let's make a deal. My car's like, let's make a deal.
It you really can, is.
You know, does John have whatever? Yeah, it's probably somewhere hidden in the back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
listen,
welcome,
ladies. We're so happy to have you back. You know, we were talking to Kim. We've truly tried to have Kim on for a long time, and you guys know how that goes. Life gets in the way, right? But with you two, you know, you were in our bullpen over a year ago of guests who we wanted to meet and learn more about because your stories were so inspirational. And so we got some time to talk with you. And it's funny looking back because we were at Lydia's when Lydia was still here. Amazing lady. And she was celebrating a milestone.
Yeah.
And we had more of the focus on Lydia as a female entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But your story was so compelling that we ended up submitting it for the Golden Quills. And
so crazy.
It's so cool because that's you're the reason.
Awesome.
So it's a thank you to you guys that we are finalists, right?
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
we're GQ.
But
now they're here and we get to hear what they're doing now.
So Lydia did our podcast and then she left. But
But
clearly, I'm watching your Instagram pages. Clearly, because you were on the podcast, your careers have skyrocketed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah. So we actually do a couple of things. Our business, Chic Influencer, which we talked about last year. We started, we're coming up on almost two years.
It will be. Yep.
Yeah.
And we really got into the business because Melanie has a gift for all things strategy when it comes to marketing. And I have a gift for all things storytelling. And people kept asking us, you know, how do you do this? How do you begin marketing? How do I put myself out there? How do I actually sell effectively? And we noticed that there was this need for especially women who are interested in business. They just needed a little bit more polishing.
Yeah.
And so we started a business that focused on community and helping people really grow on social media and do it without a high ad spend because we noticed people were really getting ripped off with what do I sell, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we started there and we have been doing that for about a year and a half
we
just branched out. Do you want to talk a little bit about how we branched out?
Yeah. So we over the past, you know, I don't know, almost 2 years, 18 months, we just kept coming in contact with business owners that They were like, we love what you ladies do. We follow you on social. Will you do this for our company? Mm-hmm. And so we would look at their gift and their craft. They're incredibly talented. They just didn't know how to market it effectively. And so we launched Chicway Media, which is really a media management company. Actually just a week ago, we put up the website. We have built an entire program to just really help business owners and take that gift for the story and the strategy and put it out there in a way that gets in front of the right audience and not in a cookie cutter way.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And you have a pretty good website person, I think.
I heard he's okay.
He's all right.
I mean, so my husband actually designed all of our websites. So he has done my website and he's going hunting for, that's a whole different story.
Oh,
so when he gets done with his little trip, he's going to come back and he's going to actually work on my website, but he has also done Chic Influencer and he has done Chicway Media and he has had a few other clients. Yeah. So it's been really good.
Isn't that awesome? Especially with his family base.
So what's one of the more challenging projects? You know, we get the, you know, occasionally people say, can you help me? And you know, someone has to have the right product and they can't be selling square Frisbees as we see all the time, right? Because there's no way to promote that, right? Nobody wants one, right? When someone comes to you and they say, well, we want to sell something very, maybe there's just not a market for
different.
It. You know, it's just different. How do you process that?
You have to be a little bit subjective and a little bit objective because you're looking at it, they're looking at it inside and they think it's great.
Yeah.
But you might have to be the ones to not burst the bubble, but almost this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do sort of an intake process that has questions we ask that are specific to that because most people that own a company and own a business, they are so good at what they do. They're so technical and they look at it from a very different way. When you are speaking to your prospective client out there on social media, you really have to flip the switch and say, okay, let me dumb it down, right, to the person that's not an expert in what I'm trying to sell or what they need. And so what are their pain points or what is your unique selling proposition? What makes you different than all the other people who sell something or, you know, provide a service like you would provide? For example, a chiropractor, you know, a chiropractor on every street corner, right? What makes one chiropractor different from the next? And so when you start to jog their memory or get them thinking about what it is that makes me different, it starts to happen. The story starts to come out, the unique points of what they do and why they do it start, and then the light bulb kind of goes off.
Sure.
Yep. You know?
But sometimes it takes some time, right?
It does.
Absolutely. But it's so fun to be a part of that process because what we do is we hear it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're pulling out taglines. We're pulling out key phrases. We're pulling out words from them that they don't even realize they're saying because they're so on the inside.
Yep, sure.
And so that's so much. We get so geeked when we talk about
we
this
do,
stuff.
Because we almost put ourselves into the place of their actual customer, their potential customer.
Yeah.
And we go, okay, we would want to know this. And we would want to know this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that's content. This is what we want to create for you or we want to create with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
And so as far as if you were marketing the Bentley dealer to Rachel and I, what would you do here? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Whoa. It wouldn't work.
You're like, that's the intake process. What does your bank account
look
like?
That's why it wouldn't work, for sure. And talk a little bit about, and I love that you touched on women. You know, I definitely don't want to say that it's been trending, right? But I think women have noticed, I mean, it's the celebration of the 19th Amendment even, right? I think that we've realized that we no longer have to rely on someone else. We are women and we can do the same things, which is amazing because you're seeing a lot of these female businesses emerge and things like that. What have you learned though from how to really, you know, embrace being a female? Like I hate that cliche of I embrace womanhood, but it's becoming a thing and it's not a trend for the fact that it needs to stick around.
Yeah.
You know, all of these movements need to stick around so that there are these niche, you know, excitement to each one of these groups like women.
Yeah.
I know that you did, like we said, Katie Love was on one of your panel discussions. Talk a little bit about like ways that you've helped women in particular.
So I really feel like it's not about relying on someone as much as it's being believing that we're better together.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
So I can look at certain skills that people have and know that our client would benefit from seeing those skills. So it's just an abundance mindset of believing that there's room for everybody. And I think that's why Good Chic point. Influencer even started.
Sure.
Melanie has amazing gifts and qualities, and we balance each other out. I'm able to give to the company what she's like, yeah, I'm not so great at, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
And so even when we talk about that idea of I am woman, hear me roar,
right.
I also think to myself, my husband's really great at the website.
Right.
Her husband's incredible with the financial side of things. We don't know anything about those sides. So it's not about feeling like we can't do it with them. It's just that it works better when we do it together.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was a really good answer. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because it's true. Because as women, sometimes, you know, I can say this, it goes over the top where you're like, you know, I've had people say, is it a struggle to be a partner with a male? 100% opposite for me.
Yeah.
I have a lot of, I mean, I respect so many women in the industry. Some I don't, because I look at it as a different perspective where he and I balance so well.
Yeah.
That I don't want to do the, I am woman and I only want to do this by myself. That's
right.
Why your answer was so perfect,
yeah.
Because it's true. You kind of safety in numbers in the sense that you know what each bring to the table, but you also have other people involved.
And it's believing you deserve a seat at that table.
That's right.
Too.
Yes.
So that's a big one. And collaboration over competition.
There.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
I like
that's
right?
Phrase. That's a great
because
phrase.
This is a cutthroat world.
Right.
Yeah. Industry especially, right?
All right. TikTok or Reels? TikTok or Reels?
Look at John. I don't even know this. Where is that?
I don't know.
Well, we're definitely not TikTok anymore. Although we did.
Yeah.
We went viral on TikTok.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It was crazy.
It was crazy and it was awesome. And we just watched that happen.
Was it recent or a little bit ago?
So it was during quarantine, which feels like forever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that long ago,
okay.
A couple months ago, but we got rid of TikTok.
Okay.
And we did. So we have to embrace Reels.
Yeah. I gotcha.
You
well, and I only know because Katie Roman said, my oldest son said, his girlfriend said, Mike Ersta's wife was on. So that I got to see Katie on TikTok. So
that's crazy when you know how these things, what was the other, it was 6 seconds of video. I can't remember the software. It's no longer here, but you know, we talked about it on one of the other podcasts, but you have to keep up with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, as Kim said earlier, you have to go where your people are watching, right? And so you can't limit yourself. You can say, I'm only going to print my newspaper or I'm only going to be on Facebook, but you're going to limit your audience. So
you
do
have to go where they go, right?
Yeah.
And that is very true. And even if you look at the trend over the past couple of months, how many business owners have had to pivot? How many people that have done business face to face?
Aren't you sick of the pivot word though?
I am.
Yes.
I am. But it's like, it's either sink or swim. Yeah. You are either going to lean in or you're going to be left in the dust.
Yes.
And even as our business grew, you know, all the years of starting to leverage social media, we just realized that, you know, I don't want to do Instagram. I don't want to do Instagram. Okay, I'll do Instagram.
Yeah. Right, right.
You
right.
know, it's like we just sort of dig in our heels. But then all of a sudden you start to see how it can be beneficial, how to use it for business. And so it's the same thing. I don't want to do TikTok. I don't want to. And then, okay, well, let's try this. So I feel like it's this process of accepting the idea and embracing it.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And as you know, coaching them to use it correctly, right? You know, putting up, videos or things, whatever on Instagram, you know, that don't make sense to the brand or whatever else. So I get it.
That's so true. That's the key too.
Yeah.
You know, I love your collaboration.
You have to be on
Instagram,
but don't get on there until you can use it correctly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No,
content.
Embrace imperfection. Embrace imperfection. And even when you're honest with people and say, I don't know what I'm doing. If you do a first reel, and you guys should do this on Instagram, do a reel and say, we're going to stink at this. It's going to be terrible. And your people are going to be like, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, you're right.
So
yeah.
you just embrace that.
Right.
And people love that authenticity. Yeah. And just when you're willing to say, I'm not perfect at this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it anyway.
That's a good point. Yeah, you're right. Because that's what you have to. I say this to my kids all the time. You have to have these crappy moments. Basically, you have to fail to succeed, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it's like to keep trying.
Yes.
Yeah. You.
Yeah.
It happens. Good That's point. Awesome. Look, Deep Thoughts by Chic Influencer.
I know. So if people listening and watching, where do they find you guys on the internet?
Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram at Chic Influencer. You can find us on Facebook at Chic Influencer. We have a website, chicinfluencer.com and chicwaymedia.com.
We're Look at all that.
LinkedIn. And you can find each one of us, Katie and Melanie, we each have our own personal pages as well. So we're a little bit of everywhere.
Yeah.
Really well,
are.
Thanks for being
and kudos
a part
to
of of our
your growth. Yeah.
Golden quill today, but we have a question of the day.
Yeah, question of the day. Since we're celebrating you, right? We keep saying this is not about us. This is celebrating the ability to, right? If you were giving an acceptance speech for anything, you won some amazing award, who's the first person you're thanking? You get up there, you're all dressed up, and you're addressing your peeps. Who are you thanking?
I'm going to go with my husband first. Absolutely. He is just a good guy who is super supportive. He's been supportive since day one.
Yeah.
And you.
Say the same thing.
There you go.
I mean, it's definitely, I feel like it's a partnership, and it's awesome that our husbands are so on board.
Yeah,
and we
sure.
really, it's not a one-woman show or a two-woman show.
Yeah.
It really... It takes an army. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I joke that Mike Erst is my boss at Team Pitt because I'm stepping down, he's the IT director and he's the communications guy. So he'll say, hey, can you post this? And I go, yes, boss. And he thinks it's kind of funny.
I know.
He's a great guy. I don't know your husband. I can only imagine how wonderful he is, but you guys definitely have a good thing going. So keep it up. Please keep us posted. Come on and chat. Whatever's new, we're happy to have you.
Awesome. And as we've said before, we had the budget to get you here in the Bentley, but we don't have the budget to get you
so
out
you're,
of
you're
here.
Done.
So yeah.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And coming up now is our last guest.
Yeah,
right?
To the RZY.
This is going to be very fun to watch the 9-foot-tall Frizzy crawl through the back of this Bentley. By the way, this is a 2020 Bentley Mustang. And it's $369,600.
Oh, it's a little bit.
I have the deposit of $600.
You know what? I wasn't going over $300.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I think we can.
Look at those shoes.
Look at
this. We need
to
like get a close up on this.
So we joked earlier. Yeah, you could take your mask off if you want to socially distance, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we're good.
As we joked earlier, Frizzy and I had the same shirt on earlier, and then he looked really good in his, so I put this one on.
I appreciate that you did that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm just trying to keep up with you out here.
You look so good.
Thank you so much.
Dude, I love
you guys look
color.
Amazing, too.
Well,
look.
We're just faking because I have hockey, so it's true.
And I have shorts on underneath.
I mean, so, sometimes you got to show out the kneecaps. Y'all both got the caps out. You know what I mean? That's what we want.
Lift their leg.
You know what I mean? You got to lift the leg up.
Listen.
We do legs. Out, not pinkies. That's what we do.
Listen, we're giving little stories behind why everybody's on. So Frizzy, obviously, you know, is so near and dear to us. We credit David Allen for even the introduction.
Shout out to
right?
my boy, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic intro. And it really was a match made in heaven from the time we met him. We asked him to come on the podcast. We did a lot of great things together. If you kind of just look back over the last 2 years, I mean, he broke a world record.
Yeah.
We got to see the different things that he was doing with the Mr. Rogers Foundation.
Yeah.
Back and forth to LA. And this is what sort of is a good and bad thing. You're on today for music.
Yes.
Because we can't talk too much to you because you won our hashtag BYOP, which is Build Your Own Podcast episode.
All right.
So we're still waiting. Eaton Park has been gracious. They want us to go there do an episode.
I mean,
right?
It's the place for smiles, you already know.
Do you know that they want you to basically greet people with rapping?
Really?
Yeah.
They want, like
That's
you
the
did
premise.
For
That's
your,
amazing.
For, they want you to freestyle as people come in.
Like you did at the blog.
Like you did at the blog.
Look, as long as they supply smiley cookies,
we
can
negotiate.
Are you a smiley cookie guy?
I'm a smiley cookie. I'm so addicted to smiley cookies.
Really?
It's a problem. Like it's weird. Like whenever friends or family like bring me cookies, it's
You're
always
happy.
A smiley face cookies.
Well,
yeah, so they're going to understand that I'm an addict.
Okay.
And if they want to feed my addiction, it's
do it. You know what I mean? My address is
no. My address is right. No.
My son would not eat a smiley cookie when he was a kid because it had a face on it. He was like, it has a face.
It gets creepy. I have to admit, I always was like, I was leaving I was leaving the studio. A couple months ago, and I'm with my whole team there, management, you know, with my assistant, and we're eating, and the waitress recognized me mid-meal, right? And she's like, oh, free. And I got up and took pictures. I was taking pictures with everybody in there. And then we sat down, and she was like, oh my gosh, like, can I have an autograph? I was like, listen, if my to-go bag got a few smileys in it, you know what I mean? You can have whatever you want.
And I got you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And she hit me. I ain't gonna say her name because I don't want to get in trouble. She hit me with like a 3-4 piece. Three or four of them. You know, when you get over two.
Yes.
I was like, listen.
Now, are you a dunker in milk?
Oh, absolutely.
Like
I'm a dunker. I'm a big milk guy anyway. One of my dreams, I'm gonna say that on here now because if it happens, then we get it. One of my bucket list things is to be a spokesperson for Got Milk.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a big milk. Yeah. Like I drink, you know what I mean? Like, wow, it's disgusting how much milk I drink. But I also, did you know if you can drink milk that that's something different. That's a part of evolution. That's a,
yeah, I did hear,
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah, like we're not supposed to be able to drink milk, yeah, once, right, we get older. So if you can, yeah, do that, it's a,
you're like superpower.
Yeah, it's a superpower.
Which is why you're so into the superhero stuff.
That I am, man. Yeah. I am. I have my Black Panther ring on.
6 degrees.
Right,
I know. Oh, I, yeah, wow. About, you,
yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, my phone got blown up last night.
That's crazy.
Cried heavy last, yeah, night a little bit this,
such,
morning.
Such a young guy.
Yeah, 43, man. 43. So he's one of my heroes for me. Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's been rough because I have four heroes. I have, Jay-Z, Will Smith, Kobe Bryant, and Black Panther.
Yeah,
and
wow,
for Chadwick has become that person for, yeah, me because he brought my imagination to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
so, you know, two people I haven't had a chance to meet. I didn't get to meet Kobe. I didn't get to meet, yeah, Chad. And it, yeah, was just to say thank you. You know?
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
That's why it hit me even harder last night to know that with my voice, I can't say thank you, but with my spirit and my legacy, I can. So,
yeah,
I think that
that's a great point.
That's something I'm
going
to try.
Does that mean maybe there's a song coming out?
There definitely will be. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Right. For sure. I mean, later on today, I'll be posting all the Black Panther stuff I have at my house, and I have Wakandan tattooed all over,
right,
my body anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm a big person in that, but just to lose a king like that,
yeah,
you know, it makes everybody, you know, everybody takes their hats off, yeah, in remembrance of, we all take our crowns off, mm-hmm, today.
Was it liver?
It was colon cancer.
Colon cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. He had it for 4 years. Didn't tell, yeah, anybody.
Didn't tell anybody. And you know, that's the thing is skipping over from that a little bit is that he was a role model for Black kids.
Oh my goodness.
Right. As far,
right,
as being able to do that. That's,
right,
why the Black Panther was so big.
Yes. Yes.
He's a role model.
Right.
As you are a role model.
Yes.
And he was transitioning, helping people,
yes,
transition, right?
Yes.
And that's what we try to do. In the midst of all of your music, we, yes, have all tried to work together,
absolutely,
to figure out how we help the situation that,
right,
we talked about.
Right.
And you were part of you and Arthur Moses.
Which was an amazing, amazing experience.
It was a great time. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
So now when someone like him goes away, do you feel a sense of responsibility where...
Absolutely.
That's a good question. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It took me a long time to get
no,
there.
No, it's okay.
I was like, yeah, left, right here. Come.
Well, sometimes the most exotic places take a while to get to, right? We drive. We get there. It's great. No, I'm okay with that. We got gas money. I got you. I'm working. I'm doing good in my life. I got gas money.
Gas is a different phrase. Yeah, for...
Awesome, and I quit. This was such a good question.
Sorry, it wasn't. Yeah,
He did good. No, I think that, absolutely, right? You feel that energy, but I think that that's what one of his big goals were. Right. To create this atmosphere that everyone can breathe in,
sure,
and to take it and hold that up. And I think that that's the thing, that really makes, I think, me smile amongst the tears is knowing that he left a legacy with the door unlocked.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's allowed us to be able to walk in there and be able to represent, you know, not only his legacy, but his name, but Wakanda. And,
yeah,
really, especially at a time like this in America, to be able to say, you know, in the midst of everyone fighting and arguing about losing a black life, we lost one that didn't involve bullets, and it still hurt the same.
Great point.
You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's wow. So to see the world unite over someone that was unanimously called a king.
Yeah.
And that people like my nephew, who's 10, about to turn 11,
sure,
and these little kids who see him as Black Panther. Last night, they didn't lose Chadwick Boseman. They lost Black Panther.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. What do they know, right?
Right, what do they, yeah, know? So for them, they lost a king who they saw show them that being black was beautiful. And I said in my post, he made our black skin shine.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
to understand that, that no matter what, you can do it. And one of the things I've been saying is that, you know, last night I went to sleep thinking, wow, God takes black kings too soon.
Mm. Yeah. So what made him different from Denzel Washington, from Tyler Perry? Like Tyler
because
Perry
of
has
the
built
roles
this,
they play.
He,
yeah.
But Tyler,
right,
Perry has built this,
right,
humongous place, right?
Right, right.
So what, or is he just, was he another one like that?
Well, see, I think that they are all similar within the major goal, right? They are all similar within watching us create generational wealth, right? And seeing that it is possible, to do the things that you wanted to live your dream. But I think within categories, right? Denzel comes from a different time period, right? So I think Denzel shows that
that's true,
the consistency.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Tyler Perry shows location, right? Because most of his things are based on the black community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So,
mm-hmm,
you see Madea, who,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
this wise woman, but she's, that's grandma, right? That's,
yeah,
the grandma that was on the porch in the,
yeah,
hood every,
yeah,
day. That was,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that was able to bring, especially white America, into our culture mm-hmm. and into our, the way we grew up and see that Madea is not this rich, you know, this nope. rich woman with money, but rich with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And, then, and that's such a good point with Tyler Perry, because as you know, growing up in the North Side.
Yes, come on.
You drove through the North Side.
It was Big Mama. Everybody knew Big yeah, Mama.
No
yeah.
doubt.
No doubt.
So
right.
It did for real help white America.
Yes.
Who grew up in the city yep. to relate. Yeah. But yet understand.
Exactly. You know, there were unwritten rules within that neighborhood sure. that you knew. There was, you didn't disrespect certain people.
Sure.
It was ma'am and missus and,
yep.
you know what I mean? Yes, ma'am and no ma'am. And then what Chadwick represented, I think, was a reality of fantasy, right? A remembrance.
Okay.
For stuff like Thurgood Marshall and, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Robinson. I mean, he passed on Jackie Robinson Day.
How crazy was that?
Yes. Right? Yes. So you, now you remember 42 and for Black Panther, which is yeah. somebody that people don't know, you know, when, you know, when Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and all them, and they all created him, this is early during the Black Panther movement, right? This is before the Black Panther movement even existed, that he created Black Panther. Mm-hmm. A black character that's a king from Africa, yeah. right? During a time when we couldn't even sit in the same room as a white person or drink yeah. from the same water fountain. So to see that was something that I grew up on Black Panther, and then to see him come to life.
Yeah.
And then to be like, that's him. And to see now, like, I read his voice in the pages and he sounded like me, but now he sounds like Chadwick. Or to see cartoons of him drawn and he looks mm-hmm. like Chadwick, right? Mm-hmm. This is, so I think that's what he brought to it, was a realistic, he brought imagination to life.
Mm-hmm. And, that's a great point.
Yeah. You know, so now it's like, okay, wow. When you lose that, you lose a little bit of your imagination. It's the same way as a grown adult felt the day we heard, you know, Mr. Rogers pass away.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the transition from that is, I always tell you this, I could hear you speak forever because, well, you really put thought into, let's face it, you almost overthink, which is
yes.
not a bad thing
yes.
because it helps people to put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about how, and in whatever the circumstances, as we know, we did our panel discussion.
Right.
How have things like the racial inequality, or the passing of someone who you cared for, you know,
yes,
as a mentor.
So. Yes.
How do those kinds of things help you from a grieving process or from a growing process
mm-hmm.
writing your music? Because I know that that's changed
yes.
in what you wrote. Let's face it. You were known for the Mr. Rogers. So you took
right.
an already existing thing
mm-hmm.
and made it your own.
Right.
Super cool. There's
right.
a talent there. But from that, then you went to, you know, songs that people know, even the Golden.
Golden is yeah. huge right now. Right.
So where are you now with thinking? I mean, because I know what kind of thinker you are.
Yes, yes.
So what is the writing part
it's,
like?
That's a great question. It's been a very...
Ew.
Come on. She's killing it out oh, here, man. Come on,
you didn't
man.
Hear the earlier guests.
Oh, well, I'll be...
this is the one that matters.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Well, look, I mean, when I share it on my Facebook page, at Frizzy Following, when I post it, everybody's going to have to watch the whole thing before they even
there
get to the interview, so they're going to hear all of it. I think, right, it's been interesting coming to terms with being an overthinker in a world that thinks too slow,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's like, or being from a city that may be seen as thinking, you know, in the past or living
mm-hmm.
in the past.
Sure.
It's been a wild ride because, you know, I'm known for my metaphors. I love party music. I love making things for girls. I love doing dance music. I love also being deep. I did a song called No Justice, No Peace with Roscoe Wickie and Terry Jones that really, you know, I had some lines in there that were very, that people start putting on t-shirts and stuff like that. So I think using the talent that I'm known for to be able to capture the moment, it's been weird because I have a lot of cool things lined up, like new songs, new videos we're going to do, people dancing, booty clapping, all that fun stuff. But you have to kind of put it on pause, right? Because it doesn't feel
yes.
right.
Yeah.
And it's like,
right. mm-hmm.
it's made me adjust, you know what? It's made me reposition my sentences. So instead of saying something that I would want to say in a certain way, now I'm saying it the way it needs to be heard.
Mm.
You know, so it's been a transition, but an enjoyable one because I know that it's making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And as a musician, as a poet, as someone who is a master of ceremonies as an MC, right? I think it's my job to conduct the ceremony. And right now, the ceremony has, unfortunately, it's gone from celebration of black skin to remembering that, you know, memorials and funeral services mm-hmm. and those type of ceremonies that have been going
but
on.
But here's the question. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
No,
do you
more.
Feel like, and obviously things are still happening, but do you feel like there's change happening? Do you feel like that there's progress. I don't want to say change because I don't think change takes time.
Yes.
So I don't want to. So I'm thinking in my words too.
Right.
So change takes time. Mm. So we can't say that there's a huge change when unfortunately we're still seeing things happening.
Right.
But do you feel progress?
Yes, I do. Good. I do feel progress. It's interesting, right? Because like what happened to Jacob Blake is a step back, right?
Yep.
Like you feel like you,
yes.
Like when you're progressing forward and you feel that hit.
Like, but
you,
damn, yeah.
Right. But I'm always a big, I'll give you an example. I'm always a big, like, acknowledgy person, right? And for me, I think I see, I was used to seeing a big white wall, right? And this white wall is painted over a black wall, okay? And over time, I've seen this the white paint start to fade a little bit. So you start to kind of see the black come through. And then you get excited because you go, it's starting to look gray, mm-hmm. right? Starting to blend together. Like I can see the gray spots in there. And now I also, not only do I see gray spots, but I see white and I can see black paint because it still has not blended together.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, I think right now, you have a person come and just create white polka dots, right, on the black spots.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And they just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you can see, and they want you to see them doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that's messed up is not only do they like white paint, but they hate gray paint. Like, they say that they don't hate black paint. I love black paint. What do you mean? Black paint? I own black paint.
Yep. And I love polka dots. So
and I love polka dots. Right. But I hate gray.
Yeah. I get it.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is hating gray.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you say that because obviously two different worlds.
Right.
But I come from a place that wants to learn and educate. And so I think that the more we do that, mm-hmm. it's healthy to know how's the progress going. You know,
yes.
you have to have check-ins,
yes.
right? How's it going? And again, it's important to say you're not the end-all be-all, not that you're claiming to be.
No.
I think it has to be mutual, that everybody's saying, well, I feel a little different about what I'm asking or how, you know what I mean?
But see, that's the thing. I'm not the end. I'm not the finish line, but I'm damn sure a check mark.
Yeah.
A checkpoint. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right. And it's about, but see, that's the refreshing thing. You want to learn. You want to learn. Not only do you want to learn, but then once you learn, you want to teach.
Yeah,
and
sure.
that's the difference. That's the only way this is going to change is the people who want to learn deciding that they also want to teach.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what sucks. Cause what's happening is you guys want to learn,
uh-huh.
right? And then you learn. And then there's maybe people around you that want to learn, but don't want to teach. And then when graduation comes, they get diplomas too. And you're like, yo, you wasn't even in class.
Damn, you're good at that.
Yeah. Right? Like, we all at graduation. Yeah. Like, I know you, you skipped half this year.
Yeah.
But it's because you got a copy. You got one of them tests at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, like, if you just get a C on this, we'll let you graduate. I've been here. I got perfect attendance. Yeah. I got to stand on stage with him.
Yeah.
What you mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want, for me, you know, and to continue with the point, I just want all white people to want to be valedictorian.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to be?
Yeah.
Because there are also black people that want to learn.
Yeah.
And black, like me, myself, I'm still learning.
But and I find the conversation easier. Like we said, you know, when we did the panel, it was like asking the questions no one wants to ask. But I'm finding it easier. And listen, we're lucky, as we said, that we could say we didn't just go, oh, I'm going to call my one black friend and ask them what we do. We had multiple people who we work with regularly. Okay, fine. That's great.
Right.
But some people didn't. So to me, it feels like the conversation's getting easier to have. So that has to be a good sign.
That is definitely. I mean? But then it's about, it's so funny. I know a lot of white people that have no black friends. And then that's the scary thing is they don't, and now it's, they feel like it's too late to go get them because now they think that if I go get it, it's going to look like I'm just going to get back.
Exactly.
Right. But it's like, and also I told my one friend's friend who wasn't my friend, we're friends now, but I was like, it's okay. Do you know what? Right now, that's more of a compliment than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like I would love to be driving downtown and see a white person with a sign that says, I want more black friends. Say hello.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's hashtag that.
Can we do that?
I'll get a t-shirt.
Hashtag, I want more black friends.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's cool. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think is great because it what cracks me up is you see people online and they're just like, well, you know, these hoods, right, are like terrible, right? They're selling drugs and they're doing this and they're doing blah, 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 and they're killing people. It's terrible. They're the worst people in the world. They're the worst drug dealers ever. And then you're like, what was a dude named Capone? Yeah. It was pretty, you know what I mean? Like, so what are these mafia guys not as terrible because they're organized? Because they wear suits instead of white t-shirts?
Yeah. Yes.
No matter what, in all cultures you go to, drug dealers, shooting, killing, murdering, these things happen all the time.
Yeah.
But it's more likely that it happens to, that blacks kill blacks or whites kill whites because we're all isolated into an environment that we're closer to each other. You usually die or get murdered by the person, by the same race as you because you live amongst that race.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just, it's scary to see willful ignorance.
Yes.
People are excited to be ignorant, and they talk to each other in a circle. So, you know what I mean? So, if we're just all sitting here with shorts, like, oh, your knees look amazing. Does that dude have pants on? Right? Like, seeing somebody with pants is an insult. Like, you came in here with pants?
I was never in my surgery, and I didn't shave my knees.
Listen, so I got that same scar, though.
Let's talk about the – so, you were on our podcast where we're up for a Golden Quilt. We're finalists.
GQ.
Finalists. When do we run out exactly when we win?
September
3rd.
So, this will come out on Monday on KDK, Tuesday on us, and then Thursday.
So, it'll be on PCTV.com.
Okay.
People can watch it. So when we did it, though, we took you for your very first Gus and Yaya ice ball. Right?
Come on, man. Shout out to the bees, by the way. The bees don't get enough love. Shout out to the.
That's exactly where I want to go. The bees.
Dude, you know what's funny? We were leaving an event downtown. Not an event. John had to speak outside for PEMF.
Come on, man. Big
things. And we were leaving, and he goes, "Are your kids at home?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Do you want to stop at Gus and Yaya?"
Come on, man.
Yeah. I was like, "Yes.
Come on, Gus.
Let's go." Yeah. Like, and we didn't have to get any for my kids. So it was kind of nice. But the bees were there. It was such a
They're
reminder.
Always there, man.
Always. And you just, like, greet them.
And he, like,
just
touched them.
That's what I'm saying. He's like a bee whisperer.
He rubs them on the belly. Yeah, right.
His nigga, my friends, we all call him.
Anything. He's like, "Hey, guys. How did the things work out with your friend?" Like, just.
We call him Cheerios. That's my nickname for him is Cheerios. Because he always has the bees around him. The honey bees. He's sweet. He's a sweet guy like Cheerios. He got the bees on deck with him.
You even freestyled.
Yes, I did, man. What I mean, that interview was timeless, man.
Yeah. It was great.
Well, and it was your concept. You came to us and you said, "Have you guys ever done just a podcast about one person?" We're like, "No, we always have three or four. Would you like to try that?" And
was deep too.
And the podcast that is up for the
ironically,
award.
It was before, I want to say this, like thinking back, it was before anything happened with Black Lives Matter, anything. With George,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and we went deep.
We were friends without just, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all didn't need a hashtag.
Where's Frizzy today? I need a black friend. Yeah.
You guys were stuck with me. Well, you got to get the black. You know, our first interview was in the rain. People don't know. Like, he was in the rain.
Downpour.
Like, we could have got electrocuted if we wanted this friendship so much. It was like, we could die from this.
You had the same shirt on.
We did. I did have the same shirt on. You know what I mean? And then I got a couple new tattoos with it, though. I added it in. You know what I mean? I was like, Rage is coming. Hold on. Wait a second.
But
Gus.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank.
Seriously.
Thank you, guys.
It was your idea. You said, how about an extended version? We did it, and now we're finalists. And I don't know if you heard Kim talk about this, but it's 30 counties. So it's not just Westmoreland. It's not just Allegheny.
Right.
It's 29 or 30 counties.
Wow.
And they all submit. And what's cool is, you know, like I told you, it used to be just newspapers, and now they've even added, you know, lowly podcasts like ours. But you make our lowly podcast look good, so thank you.
But and one more thing is to remind you is that this isn't Pittsburghers that listen to the podcast.
No.
They're out somewhere else,
right?
And they listened to the podcast and thought that we all did a good job.
Well, I mean, that's what means a lot. Well, I mean, you guys are amazing hosts, and you guys are amazing creators. I remember sitting there because I remember you were killing the questions of the day. You were killing them, and it was great to see you guys going back and forth. Your chemistry is just a class that I love to be in, and being able to come and be in the middle of that and fit in comfortably. I mean, our friendship and our relationship has been growing consistently, regardless. Sure. But to be able to do as many interviews as we do or interactions as we do, and having you guys, going from a bench with bees to hundreds of people for world records, you know, which I wouldn't have been able to do without you guys, is something great. So if the quill is one of the first things I can do to even start to recognize you guys' greatness. We got a lot of work to do. I'm excited. Now, I'm definitely going to need two of them because I'm going to need to put one on my. You know what I mean? I got an award thing in my house with the Emmy on it and Grammy stuff. Like, I'm excited.
Like, I got a quill.
We're going to give you the one of those wood burning engravings of Rachel and I holding it.
Please.
Yeah.
I just want a long one that's just y'all knees.
So before we let you go, how did you like your almost ride in the bed?
Man, let me tell you something right now. Y'all almost didn't get me out the back seat. It was almost a problem. problem.
You weren't coming out.
It's always a problem. You know what's so dope about it too? I don't know if Bentley set this up. I don't know if Jason set this up. Shout out to Jason. But that inside of that Bentley is very Black Lives Matter. It's very white and black.
Oh,
in there.
Yeah.
It blends well.
He did it.
He's a smart guy. But I mean, it's sexy.
Being that in there, is a $369,000 car right
Oh, that's cheap. That's good.
Yeah.
That's what I said. It's a little over my budget.
A couple of payments.
That's nothing. But see, what you do with this car is, you pay that money, and then you just don't take it nowhere.
Right. It's like my health insurance. I just let it sit there, and I can't afford to use it. Yeah.
You know a car is sexy. You know a car is expensive when, you know, they say it depreciates when you get it off the lot.
Yes.
If when you get it off the lot, it's still over your budget.
And 10 years later, still. Yeah.
10 years still.
Yeah.
I don't even want to rent it.
Like, Listen, you're not wrong.
Where does everybody find you online?
Follow.
Man, it's Frizzy. It's F-R-Z-Y. You can find me anywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok now. I'm out here with doing the dances.
Woo-hoo.
And also just in your mind and your heart, if you want good music, I'll always be there.
Yeah.
So all right. Question of the day. You know, you can't get away.
I can't wait.
So since this is the ceremony episode called GQ.
Okay.
If you were to win an award, no matter what it's for,
I got a couple
of
them.
Yeah.
A couple.
Real ones. So, not just pickle pins.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Right.
Who's the first person you would thank in your acceptance speech?
God.
I knew it.
Okay.
Listen, this is the best part. Every one of the people who were on thanked somebody different special.
Yeah.
And they're like, someone said mentor, someone said husband,
right,
or spouse,
yeah,
and
right,
God.
I would say God first, because the person I'm going to thank next, he created. So
yeah,
you got to kind of start from there.
I would say God.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Can't thank the egg without the chicken, right?
That's right.
Metaphor.
I thought y'all were going to ask me, like, what award do I want to win? I was, like, ready. I was, like, practicing.
Tell me.
What would it be?
Oh, the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, okay.
I need that. So can we play this podcast back on when we do it?
Yes.
That's a good podcast.
When I win it, it'll be good.
That's right.
We'll reflect. And we need Bentley to take us there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put that out there in the universe.
I love it.
Frizzy, thank you very much for
always
coming on this
man,
podcast.
Thank
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks to Katie Ersta and Melanie Mitro from Chic Influencer.
Come on, Kate and Mel. Let's go.
Yeah, Kate and Mel. Yeah. Come on. Do
it. Thanks to Jason for hosting us.
Yeah. Always a thanks to Jason Mocha and Bentley for having us. They let us invade for the entire day, really.
Right. You guys are over here going over amazing magazines too and everything like that.
Thanks to Kim Palmiro for coming on here.
Come out here putting the page.
Thanks to Mike Zachary, our intern.
Come
and
on.
Thanks to Colin Parrish, who is not only taking pictures and videos, but he doubled down on letting people in and
out. He was really good at that.
Yo, he was quick
like
with it too, man.
Guy.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a real runway.
Well, because you gotta have an expensive type of finger to open a Bentley. You know what I mean?
No,
like he looked at me like it was like he had did it before.
He's high class.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This man out here making eye contact. I like it.
You know? You know, if you need, when you go get your Nobel Peace Prize, if you need someone to open the door for you,
we'll let him come.
Listen, as long as he don't charge me too much. You know what I mean? This man out here graduating, you know what I'm saying? He worth a lot more now. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing. But no, I love you guys, man. Thank you for having me.
We love you too. And thanks to Rorick Honda. They take pride in community involvement. From looking forward to walk-in vehicle questions to customizing end-of-the-month deals, they always have the customer in mind.
Be sure to catch their community event perfectly titled The Pickup and Go Comedy Show. Check out Rorick Automotive social media for details. And when you can socially distance, have a truckload of fun. As always, visit Rorick.com for all of your frizzy vehicle needs.
Come on, man. Vroom, vroom.